Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the third line from the top of Daf Kuf Ches. Before we begin the actual shiur, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei heading. Nosei is a topic heading combined with Mivneh, a structural note. You'll notice a double underline that appears. This appears throughout the Tanaic source that we're about to learn, and it highlights the expression Yeser Alkein. Sidra Shel Dugmois Shel Miun will have a series of examples of Miun Shebohen He Omeres, where the girl says E Efshi Beploni Baali V'chol Echod Yesh Bo Chidush Yoser Mikodmo. Each subsequent example will have a novel point that was not seen in the previous example. So we now turn to the Gemara, the text, third line from the top, Tonu Rabbonan, E Zehu Miun. What is meant by Miun? Omra, the girl, says, and we discussed in our previous shurim quite extensively, Miun, the rabbinic institution of marriage, done through a mother or brother of a little girl who is still a minor. What is textually or verbally, what is the Miun? Omra, the girl, says, E Efshi Bifloni Bali. I cannot be with him. I can't continue with him. Efshi bekidushin shekidshuni imi vachi. It is impossible for me the kidushin that my mother or brother had instituted for me. Yeser al kain, Omar of Yehuda. Let us, before we go on, let us point out that by the fact that it says here Yeser al kain, that indicates that the following is even a greater chiddush, so that the first statement made, the first example, is the, we'll say, the most obvious, the most basic, the most understandable form of miun. But we go a little further, and we should also point out that each time Rashi will take care to point out what the additional chiddush is. So now, in continuing, Yeser Alkein, Omar Rabbi Huda, even more so, Rabbi Huda says, Afilu Yosheves Bapirion Voleches Mi Beis Ovia Lebeis Bailo. Even if she's sitting in an Apirion, Apirion is a type of cart or chariot, and she's being taken to the husband's house, she's Voleches, that is, Mi Beis Ovia, from her father's house, from her own home, Lebeis Bailo, to the husband's house. The Omra, and she says, E Efshi Bifloni Bali, I cannot deal with him. I cannot be with him, with my husband, with this husband. Zehu Miun, that also is Miun. The Rashi explains, what's the point over here? So on the second line from the top, Afilu Kshi Yosheves Bapirin, V'noisin Oisa Mi Beis Ovio LeBeis Bali. She's sitting in this unit, this vehicle that she, through which she's being carried from her father's house to her husband's house, l'chupa, to the marriage canopy, v'omra, and she says, E F Shibo, I can't be with him. De'ika l'meimah, there's room to think, e lo baya le, if she doesn't want him, techus v'tesel, let her just get off. And then she doesn't just get off, she seems to remain in this apiryon. Afilu hachi havi miun, even though she doesn't just jump off, but she remains that way. That still does, it still constitutes miun. Let's continue in the Gemara. Yeser alkeinam Rabbi Yehuda. Even more than that, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilu hoyu orchin mesubin beveis baila, vehi oimedes umashke alehem. There are guests in the husband's house, and she is serving them. The omra alehem, and she says to the guests, E efshi befloni baili. I can't be with him. I don't want to be with my husband. Hare hu miun. That also constitutes miun. These Rashi points out, Afilu orchim deleko beisdin. there isn't a court. Vesu, and furthermore, dehani mishtak shaski. These people are, they'll listen and they'll keep quiet. Velo ka modi, they aren't going to inform. They're not going to let it be known. Even so, that is considered miyun. We continue in the Gemara. Yeser al kain omar Rebbe Yehuda afilu shigra bailo eitzel chenvoni lohavi lo chefetz mishalo. Even if the husband sent his wife, this minor, to a store owner to bring an item that belongs to the husband, the omra, and she says, "Ef she befloni baili, I can't be with this man." Ein l'cha miun gadol mizah. That is the ultimate type of miun. Now let's see what's the chidush over here. So Rashi says, "Eitzel chenvoni." Rashi on the second narrow line, the leka elo chenvoni. There isn't a group of people. There's certainly not a court. All there is the store owner. Vika lemeimar, and there's room to think. Mishum da'atricha hu lahavi lo chefetz mishalo. Why is she being mimayin? It's not because she's serious about she can't be with him, but she's upset with the fact that he's troubling her to bring him his thing. Nevertheless, that does constitute a miyun, an act of, we'll say, dissolution of their rabbinic marriage. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer kol tinokes v'chulei. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus had mentioned in the Mishnah, it was found, of course, at the bottom of Kuf Zayim Beis, that a girl who is so young that she's incapable of keeping, of watching her kiddushin. She doesn't watch, she doesn't recognize the value of the money or the money equivalent that she received. She's not going to care for it. So she doesn't need to do miyun. The marriage is of so little significance that she, as he said in the Mishnah, einot sricha lemayin, she can just walk out without any formal statement. The Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha k'rebi Chanina ben Antignus. Halacha follows his ruling. Tana. Before we continue in the text, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Kitano shelo miyana. A girl who didn't express a formal statement of miyun, as we saw earlier, Efshi Bifloni Baili, V'omda V'nise Slacher, she got up and married some other man, or V'niskatshe La'acher, or she accepted money from another man in marriage. B'shnei Mikrim Elu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, Dehein Hein Miuna. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, even without the formal statement, her actions constitute her miyun. HaGemara Tevarer E Pligi Rabbonan Le. The Gemara will then analyze, do the Rabbonan disagree with him, or maybe they agree with him, and the question is on how many counts do they agree with him, on the Nisuin, or even if she merely accepts money from someone else. And under the Mivneh, the structural note, the diamonds introduce Ibaya Loho, the question form. Shelos Shikshuros Lamashe Nizkar Benose. These are questions that relate to that which we mentioned in our topic heading. So now the Gemara. Tana, Kitano Shelo Miano. A minor who was married to a fellow and she didn't express her formal miyun intention. The Omda V'Niseis. She got up and married someone else. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omru, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, they say Nisuel Hein Hein Miunel. The fact that she married someone else, she entered Nisuin, that means she consummated a marriage with some other man, that is her miyun. Ibaya Laho, a question is raised. Niskatsha Mahu. Let us say that she accepted money from another man in anticipation of marriage. Again, when we say another man, means she's currently, she was married through her mother or brother to Mr. A, and then she, on her own, accepts money from Mr. B. When she accepts money, meaning money in his offer of marriage to her. Toshma, Tano Shalomiano V'omdo V'niskatsha. This very case, a girl who didn't express a formal miyun to her husband got up and accepted money from another man in marriage. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omru, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, they had said, Kiddushel Hein Hein Miyunera. The Kiddushin, that the money that she accepts in marriages, which we refer to as by the term Kiddushin, that is her expression of miyun with regard to the first husband. Ibayalaho. Now the question is raised. You'll notice that we have a long question marking. There's several parts to the question. It's a build-up form question, you'll see. Ibayalo, pligi rabbonon ole derbuta ben besera olo. Do the rabbonon, do the other rabbis disagree with him or not? Im timsalom pligi, and if you say they argue with him, bekidushin o afilu benisuin, do they argue with him with regard to kidushin? Or even with regard to nisuin, even though nisuin is a greater expression of departure from the first fellow, do they rabbanon accept that as her miyun? V'imtim salam ar pligi afilu b'nisuin. And if you say that the rabbanon disagree even with regard to nisuin, that the fact she accepted money, and even if she went all the way with some Mr. Two, it does not constitute miyun. Halacha kamoso ein halacha kamoso. Does the halacha follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or not? V'imtim salam halacha kamoso. And if you say that the halacha does follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira b'nisuin, O afilo bekidushin, is it with regard to nisuin or even with regard to kidushin that also constitutes miun? Toshma, oma Rav Yehuda mar Shmuel, halacha Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. Rav Yehuda says that the halacha follows Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, and Tosfos adds very importantly, Tosfos the third Tosfos from the top. Toshma the Omar of Yudah Omar Shmaluch Rabbi Besera the Akul Hu Koy. This is going on everything he said. Bein Akidushin, Bein Anisuin. Whether it be Kedushin or Nisuin, that is her miyun. Michlad Rabbona Pligiole Afilim Nisuin. This would imply by the use of the word halacha as a rule throughout the Shas, when the term halacha appears, it's coming to dispel or dismiss other opinions. So Shmuel is ruling like Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira. Halacha michlal de pligi, as the Gemara says, the term halacha implies that the rabbanon agree, and as Tosfos pointed out, they disagree with him on both points, on kiddushin and nisuin as well. The akati tiboy aloch. The another question that I still want to ask: dehave nesiva meikora o dilma mikatsha. The girl with respect to the first husband. We understand that if she accepts Kiddushin or Nisuin from a second man, so that constitutes Miyun. What was her status with regard to the first husband? Was she even Nisua? Had she consummated the marriage with the first husband? And even with this light level form of Miyun, this unexpressed Miyun, that is sufficient for her to leave a state of Nisuin? Or Mikchisha? She was only at a Kiddushin stage with the first husband. But had it been a more advanced stage, she had reached the Nisuin stage, maybe this Miyun Kal, this light form of departure, wouldn't be sufficient. Toshma, we bring a proof from a case which we actually alluded to earlier on Daf Kuf Heyomid Beis. The Kalse da Abdon Imrud. The daughters-in-law of Abdon. Abdon was a student of Rebbe. His daughters-in-law had rebelled, had left their husbands. Shodar Rebbe Zugi Derabonon Lemivdekinu. Rebbe, who was Abdon's Rav, Rebbe sent a pair of Rabbonon to check them out to see if they have reversed themselves from their rebellion from their husbands. Omri Lahu. So the Rabbonin said to these girls, Noshi, girls, women, Chazu, we're talking about minors. So he says, Noshi, Chazu, Gavraichu, Dekosu, do you see your husbands are coming? Amri, Lahu, so they reacted, Nehevu, Gavraichu, Ditchu, let them be your husbands. Omar, Rebbe, Ein, Lucho, Miun, Godol, Mizet. So that even though you don't have the formal language of Miun, this is the ultimate in disapproval of their husbands. And hence Rebbe's reaction, you don't have a greater form of miyun than that. My love, the Hava Nesiva. Is it not so that they had reached, actually, they had reached a nisuin stage with their first husbands? So this would show that this called informal type of miyun works even with regard to a woman that had reached nisuin with the first husband. The Gemara says, lo, no, we can't prove that conclusively. Dava mikdisha kiddushi. These daughters-in-law of Abdon had only reached a kiddushin level with the first husbands. So that with their acerbic reaction. Let them be your husbands. So that kind of light form of miyun is enough to get out of a kiddushin level of relationship, but not necessarily nisuin. V'alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira v'afilu b'nisuin dekamol. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira across the boards, even if the relationship to the first husband had reached the nisuin level. This light form, this informal form of miyun is sufficient. The Gemara continues with a quote of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah had said that Ein Maisik Tana Klum. He said that the actions of a minor are of no halachic significance, and the fact that she is with another man, she initiated a marriage with another man, it's elokimifut, it's like a seduced woman. And that is, of course, in terms of marital terms, is meaningless. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Chozrani al kol tzdodei chachomim. I sought out all the different aspects of opinions amongst the Rabbanan. V'lo matzosi odom, I didn't find any person shehishva midoiso biktano kerebi Elozer that was so consistent with his analysis of a minor as Rebbe Elozer. Shasaw Rebbe Elozer kemetayeles imo b'chotzer. Rebbe Elozer looks at the actions done by a minor in terms of marriage as a girl who's strolling along with a fellow in a courtyard. Vilmedes micheko, she gets up from his bosom, v'toiveles v'ocheles betruma, and immerses herself because of any intimacy that they may have had, which creates a state of ritual impurity. So she's toveles, and the sun sets, and then continues and goes ahead and eats truma. If you were talking, of course, about a bas kohen who had been married to a Yisrael, so that she, all she has to do is just walk away from him. Nothing is necessary. That's toveles v'cheles betruma lo erev. Lo erev means after sundown, which is necessary for achieving purity with regard to eating of truma. Tanya. And before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading in which we will see in the Gemara, Machloikis Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Yeshua, Be'inyan Ktano, Shekitshus Atzma, a machloikis between these two Tanaic authorities regarding a minor who had married herself off, Ma Heim HaTotzaos, Legabi Bailo. What are the results with regard to her and her husband? Items that she finds. Haforas nedorea, the absolution of vows that she makes. Maisa yodea, or income that she produces. Vote and other aspects. These are all points that, in the case of a regular marriage, as a result of the marriage, a husband is entitled to these things. What about in the case of a ktana, a minor that married herself off? Tanya, Rebbe Elezer Omer, Ein Maisik Tana Klum. The actions done that are initiated by a minor are of no halachic significance. Ve'ein Bailo Zakai Lo B'Mitziosa. The husband is not does not merit receiving articles she finds, lost items that she finds. V'lo B'Maisiyadeh, nor her income. V'lo B'Aforas Nedorah, nor does he have the right to absolve her vows. The Eino Yorsha, and in the event that she dies, he does not inherit her. The Ein Metamelo, and if he is a Kohen, he would not defile himself in her burial. Klolo Sheldovar, the rule is Eino Kiishtoi Lechol Dovar. She is not his wife with regard to anything. Ella Shetzricho Miyun. All that we expect is for her to express her lack of desire to be with him. She should be mima'ines. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua, you will see, starts from the opposite standpoint. He says, by law, zakai b'mitziosa, the husband is entitled to all of these elements, that found the lost items she finds, of ma'isidah or income, fa'asidah or absolution of vows, v'yorsha will inherit her, mitamela, and can defile himself to her. Rashi points out that even though Tumah is a Doraisa violation, if unwarranted. So how can you explain that a man who's considered a husband only on a rabbinic level, if he happens to be a Kohen, how can he defile himself to her? Because on a Torah level, it's not considered a husband-wife connection. So Rashi explains, since he, the husband, is going to inherit her, her family members have no interest in her and won't tend to her burial. She then would be classified as a meis mitzvah, as an unattended to corpse. The only one available then to bury her would be the husband. So even if he's a Kohen, a Kohen is entitled or is expected to defile himself in the burial of a meis mitzvah. Klolo shel dovar. The following is the rule through Rabbi Yeshua. Harehi ki ishto l'chol dovar. She is considered his wife. Ella she yotze b'miyun. It's considered practically a full-fledged wife. Only that for her to depart, all she would require is miyun, as opposed to a formal divorce document. Omar Rebbe. Nirin divrei Rebbe Eliezer mi divrei Rebbe Yeshua. I see Rabbi Eliezer's point more than that of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer hishva midoisov biktano, for Rabbi Yeshua chilek. Rabbi Eliezer is consistent with his analysis of a ketana, whereas by Rabbi Yeshua, you see he makes distinctions. He doesn't have a consistent view. My chilek, what do you mean by that? Well, I ishto hi, if you are viewing her as his wife, tiboya get. Well, she should require then a formal divorce document. Yet, you're telling me, Rabbi Shua is telling me on the one hand, she's considered like a full-fledged wife, so then why does he say that miyun is sufficient for absolving the marriage? Why isn't a get necessary? So that since you see this, we'll say this level of inconsistency, Rabbi prefers going with Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara asks the Rebbe Lezer, Nami, well, according to Rebbe Lezer, also there's room for asking a question, if she's not considered his wife, miyun, Nami, lo tiboy, shouldn't require even miyun. The Gemara answers, Elo, b'chdin lo tepuk, what, she should be able to walk out with nothing. So, they were living together, there was a type of relationship with them, something should be required in order to disband that, and therefore the fact that Reb Lezer requires miyun is not a demonstration of viewing her as anything more than a mere katana. Reb Lezer ben Yankov Omer v'chulei. In the Mishnah we saw Reb Lezer ben Yankov make a statement that we said would be explained in the Gemara. We didn't explain it in the Mishnah, but he had said kol akovashi min oish kilu ishto. Call akova sheino minoish kilo kilu eino ishtoi. So now the Gemara. Hechi domi akova shehi min hoish v'akova sheino min hoish. What do these terms mean? Can we illustrate them? Om Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. We have a marking that on the side. We have an explanation. The noisei mivne heading are deos. The double underline highlights opinions. Deos lahasbi Reb Lezer ben Yankov mahi akovo min ha'ish and akovo she'eno min ha'ish. What do these expressions mean? So Shmuel is the first opinion, double underline. Tov uha linosei. While she was with the first husband, some other man sought her out in marriage. V'yomra. And she says, I can't marry you. Machmas ploni bali. I'm married to my husband. This is the reason I can't marry you is because I'm married to him. Zuhi akova shehi min ho'ish. This explains that expression. She's delayed, she's held back because of her husband, meaning she attributes her inability to marry someone else because of her husband. So regarding this, then Reb Elazar ben Yankov says she is considered ishto. That makes her like his wife. However, if she says to someone else who's seeking her marriage, And she says, Machmas b'nei Odom she'eno mehugonim li. These other people that are seeking out my marriage, they're not fit for me. I mean, I would love to marry someone else, but these guys are not fit for me. Zuhi akova she'eno min ha'ish. This is considered an akova that's not a result of her husband. She's happy to marry someone else, but not these particular people. The Rashi adds very importantly, Tavua li nose ba'oida tachtov v'nis'akfo miyose b'shvilo kilu hi ishto utzricho miyun. And as a result of that, if she were to leave him, this would be reason for requiring miyun. We continue with another opinion in explaining these phrases. Abaye bar Ovin v'Rav Chanina bar Ovin de'amri travayu. They both say, Nosan lo get. Zu hi akova shi mino ish. If he, the husband, gives her a divorce document, this is called akova shi mino ish. What practical halachic ramifications does that have? Fu osu b'krovoseo, she cannot marry his relatives. For he asura, let's correct ourselves, the husband cannot marry her relatives, he can't marry her sister. If he divorces her, he can't marry her sister, he can't marry her mother. For he asura b'krovov, and he and she is asur to marry his relatives. Uposlo min hakahuna. And by her receiving a divorce document, she is rendered unfit to marry a kohen. Miana boy, if she expresses her desire to depart, to leave him, zu hi akova she'eno min ha'ish. This is called akova. That's not from him. It's not. He's not the initiator. And as a result of this, the marriage is basically absolved from the outset. It's undone. We'll say retroactively. And as a result of that, for who muter b'krovosel, he can marry her sister, her mother. Vehi muteres b'krovom, and she can marry his relatives. For lo poslo min hakahuna, and it does not render her unfit from the kahuna. The Gemara asks, why do I need our Mishnah for? Ha, this information, katoni l'kamon, is taught in the next Mishnah, where it says, Hamema'enes b'ish, a woman who does miun, who muter b'krove seha, v'hi muteres b'krove v'lopas manakuna. Notice the little base that we have here corresponds to the base of the line just before. And here the aleph corresponds to the aleph that you saw two lines above. Nosan loget, hu asur b'krove seha, v'hi asur b'krove v'lopas manakuna. Exactly the same thing that Abaye bar Oven is claiming our Mishnah teaches is stated explicitly in the next Mishnah. So why the repetition? The Gemara says there's no repetition. It's Pirushei Komaforish. The next Mishnah comes to explain the terms in the previous Mishnah. Akova min ha'ish, v'akova she'eno min ha'ish. And now we continue with the next Mishnah. Hamema'enes b'ish. The girl, the minor, who walks out of her rabbinic marriage through the immune expression, who muter b'krovosel v'hi muteres b'krova v'lo posel menakuna. Nosan lo get, if on the other hand he gave her a divorce document, so who asur b'krovosel v'asur b'krovov uposlo min hakuhuna. Nosan lo get v'hichzira. If a man gave his rabbinic wife a divorce document and then he took her back, Mianabo, and then she, after being taken back, she expresses her miun intent, leaving him. Veniseis li acher, and then she marries another man. Venis armala oynis garsha, and with the second man dies or he divorces her. Muteres lachzor lo, the girl can go back to her first husband. One should be aware, in general, with regard to regular adult marriages, the halacha is that a woman who is divorced by her husband, if nothing happens after the divorce, the husband can take her back. That's called machzir grushoso. However, if after the divorce, the wife, the divorcee, goes and marries a second man, the first husband, according to Torah law, is not allowed to take her back. That's called an avera that we've seen a number of times in our Masechta. That's called machzir grushasa mishinisis. That's taking back one's divorced wife after she had married someone else. Notice in the case we just featured, you have a girl that was divorced, went back to the husband, and then she walked away from him and married someone else. She's allowed to go back to the first husband. Ah, but might you not say, here's a case of a woman that was divorced, married someone else, how can she go back to the first husband? The answer to that is because after she had gone back to the first husband, she then walked away from him through mi'un. And the mi'un, in effect, is mevatel, it neutralizes or it voids the fact that she had been divorced from him previously. So that it eradicates, it dissolves the get. Therefore, you have a girl that simply walked away from husband one, married Mr. Two. There's no reason she can't go back to Mr. One. Notice the next case. Pay attention to the order. Mianabo, the Yechsira, girl, had been Mimaenes to her husband, and then he took her back. She went back to him. Nosan lo get, and then he divorced her. Exact opposite of the case just before. Feniseis liacher, and after being divorced, she married another man, Venisamulus Garsha, and then with regard to the second man, she became a widow. The second husband died, or he divorced her. Asura lachzor lo. She cannot go back to the first husband. Because this would be a case of, if she were to go back, this is a case of machzir grushoso mishenises. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ze haklal. Following is the rule. Get achar miun, when in the order of events a get follows the miun, asura lachzor lo, if she had married someone in the interim, meaning after she had been divorced, the woman cannot go back to her first husband. Miun achar get, if the woman had been divorced, taken back, and then walked away from the first husband through miun, and then married someone else, muteres lachzor lo, she can go back to the first husband, even if she had entered nisuin with the second man. Hamimaenes beish veniseis liacher vegirsha, a woman who had left her first husband through miun, married a second man and he divorced her, liacher, married a third man umianobo, and she walked away from him through miun. The acher v'girsha zehaklal. The following is the rule: kol sheyotza himenu beget, any man from whom she departed with a divorce document, asur lachzor lo. She, in the event that she marries a subsequent man, she cannot go back to that fellow. Biyum miun. However, a man that she left through miun, muteres lachzor lo. She can go back to that man. There is a Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Kol sheyotza menu beget asur lachzor lo. Any man that she left through being divorced, she cannot go back to him. Af al pi sheyotzisa mishel acharov b'miun, even though she had left the subsequent husband through miun, the fact that she left the subsequent husband through miun, lo batle legito didei, that doesn't undo the get of the previous husband. So she cannot go back to him. We turn back to the Gemara. The topic heading on the side is Haim Amrinon Demiun Mevatel Get. Do we say that? Is that really so, that miun neutralizes, undoes a divorce? Well, from our Mishnah, we get the following impression. Alma, that which our Mishnah taught, that miun that follows a get, that when you had a man divorced his wife, he took her back, and then she did miun and left him through Miyun, she can go back to him. What do we see from that? Alma osi Miyun umevatel get. So you see from that, that when Miyun followed the get, she can go back to the husband, that the Miyun neutralizes, it dissolves, it voids the get, meaning that it's as if the get is not there any, has never been done, so that if in the interim, if ever afterwards she married someone else, she can go back to the first husband. Viramini, and now we raise a challenge to that idea that Miyun is mevatel get, and notice this is a quote from just above, use the arrow to align this with the source in our Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Hamamanis Beish, Venisesli Acher Vigirsha, she left husband one, married Mr. Two, and he divorced her. Li Acheru Mianabo, she married Mr. Three, and she walked away from him through Miyun. Li Acher Vigir, she married another man, and he divorced her. Zehaklal, Kol Shiotsa Himenu Beget, anyone from whom she left through a get. Asur Lachzor, she cannot go back to him. Bemiyun Muteres Lachzor Lo. If she left him through Miyun, she can go back to him. Alma, what we see from here is Lo Osi Miyun De Chavre Ubotil Gito Dide. The Miyun that she did with the subsequent man does not undo the get done with the that she received from the previous man. So if that be the case, so then Miyun does not undo, neutralize a divorce. Okay, that's the question. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Tavra. Tavra means, is from the word shavar, the tof and the shin interchange, means break the Mishnah apart. Mishi shonazu, lo shonazu. He who taught the first part of the Mishnah, which suggested that Miyun does dissolve the get, did not teach this subsequent part of the Mishnah, which suggested to the contrary. Omar Rava. Rava has a different take on this than Shmuel. Umay Kushu, what's the question to begin with? Dilma Miyun Didei Mevatel Get Didei. When you're dealing with the same individual concerning whom there was both Miyun and a Get, the Miyun that she does to her husband that had previously divorced her, so that Miyun undoes that get. And if she marries some other man and the second man divorces her, she can go back to the first husband. She's not considered under the isser of Machzir Gushos HaMishanises. However, Miyun de Chavre lo mevatel gita didei. Miyun that she does with a subsequent husband does not undo the get that a previous husband had given to her. And therefore she cannot go back to that man. Umay shno, what is the difference? My shno miun de chavre de lo mevatel gita didei. Why is it that the miun that she does with a subsequent man does not undo the get that the previous husband had given her? How do we explain that? The Aidi de Makeres. Makeres means she recognizes. The Aidi de Makeres b'mrizoisov ukrizoisov. A husband and wife develop during their tenure together. They develop a form of, we'll say, communication, winks and hints and different hints and winks that can communicate a certain level of affinity and love and adoration from one to the other. So she, the girl who had been with this man, when she sees him, let's say, winking at her, that indicates to her that he is fond of her and wants to be with her. So since a woman recognizes her previous husband's hinting, and she goes and she was divorced by that man, and she went ahead and married a second man, we're afraid Ozal, the Megarish, the first husband who had divorced her, he might go Meshavish Umaisilah, he'll We'll go and visit her when she's married the second husband. Start his winking and what have you, and that'll arouse some kind of affinity in her heart, and she'll then want to leave the second husband. And it'll cause her to be mimitis. It'll like ruin that new marriage, and she'll walk out from the second husband through Miun. And therefore, we say that a man who divorced a woman, who then went and married a second husband, we're talking, of course, the minor type rabbinic marriage, we do not let her go back to the first man. That will deter him then from trying to mess up the marriage with the second her second marriage. Well, we're going to raise a question then. Miun didei nami lo livtil gito didei. The miun that takes place with the same man who had previously divorced her, we should say that the miun does not undo the get, and we should consider her still a divorcee. And therefore, if she were to marry someone else, she should be ushered to go back to him. The Aidi demakeres beremizaisov ukrisaisov, since she recognizes her first husband's hintings, ozil mishabish umaisi law. This will then again cause him, the first husband, to, when she does marry a second man, to go and mess up her second marriage. So why is it then that with regard to Mr. 1 divorcing her, and then Mr. 2 experiencing her miun, we say she can go back to Mr. 1. We say she cannot go back to Mr. 1. Whereas in the case of Mr. 1 having divorced her, and then subsequently a miun taking place, after marrying Mr. 2, she's allowed to go back to Mr. 1. Isn't there this same problem that when she's with Mr. 2, she'll recognize the first husband's hintings? The Gemara says no. In that case, where the husband 1 had divorced her, taken her back, and subsequently she walked out on him, that shows us that she doesn't tolerate him whatsoever. Hokvar shibsha velo ishbisha velo ishtabsha. Just to go over this last point again, in a case where the Mr. 1 divorced her and she went to Mr. 2, one has to realize that the divorce is something that Mr. 1 initiated. She, as far as we're concerned, she might very well have liked him. He threw her out. She went to someone else. The Mr. 1 might have regrets and try to mess up her marriage to Mr. 2. So we say in such a case, she cannot go back to Mr. 1 so as to prevent him from, to deter him from trying to do those kind of hinting to get her back. However, in the case where a man had divorced her, taken her back, and then she walked out, so it shows us that all the hintings and expressions of fondness that he may have shown to her didn't work. So once we know it doesn't work, we're not afraid that if she marries Mr. 2, the first husband, is going to try to wink to her and try to get her back. We know that all that stuff is ineffective. So therefore, he isn't motivated to go to try to wink and take her back. So if in the event she wants to go back to him, that's her decision. That's on her own volition. And therefore, we can allow her to go back to him without the fear of the first husband trying to mess up her marriage. So as far as a distinction between the miun done to the same man that had given her a get versus the case of the miun done with a second man after she had been divorced by a first man, that distinction we can see. However, the Gemara says, Elo'i Kashya, if there is anything to ask about, dechavrei adechavrei kashya. With regard to a second man, within those topics of a second man, we will raise a seeming contradiction. Now, this is a long question, and on the side under the Mivne heading, you see that the word Alma will be highlighted with a double underline. Stiro ben shnei mikoros imiun de chavrei mevatel gito didei. Does the miun done with a second man have the power of undoing the fact that she was divorced by a previous man? So now let's continue with the Gemara and see what appears to be a contradiction. Maybe we'll spoil the suspense, but if you notice the Gemara after the long question, you see two answers. The first is given by Rebbe Lazar, and this matches the answer that was given before by Shmuel when we raised the first question. So you'll see a similar type answer. However, Ula will be a new kind of response when dealing with this particular new contradiction. So now the Gemara. On the one hand, the Reisha of our Mishnah says, Miano boi vehechzira. Nosan lo get v'nisis lacher. A man had been with a Ktana, minor girl, and she walked out, and then he took her back. And then the first husband divorced her, and then she went and married someone else. V'nisis lacher, she married a second husband, Nisarmelos Garsha, and then became a widow from the second man, or he divorced her. Asuro lachzor lo. She cannot go back to the first husband. Now we want to infer here. Taimo dinisarmelo oi nisgarsha. We know why she can't go back to the first husband, because her departure from the second husband was either through his death or his divorcing her. Ha miano. However, had she initiated the departure through miun, muteris lachzor lo. That would be the inference. She would be allowed to go back. So that what do we see from this? Who is she going back to? She's going back to the first husband who had divorced her. Alma osi miun de chavrei umevato gito didei. We see from here that the miun done with the second husband, in effect, voids or dissolves, cancels the divorce that had taken place with the first husband. If that had not been the case, if we wouldn't say that, so she would be also to go back to the first husband. Vera minhi. Now we raise the obvious contradiction. Hamimenes beish v'niseis le'achir v'girsha. She left one through miun, married two, and he divorced her. Le'achir umina, married Mr. Three. She walked down on him through miun. Umina bo ze haklal. The following is the rule. Kol she'osa menu beget asur lachso. Any man that she left through his divorcing her, she cannot go back to him when she after a subsequent marriage to someone else. B'miun, any man she had left through miun, muteres lachso, she can go back to that man. Alma, we see from this, and here just focus on the dashed underlining that we saw two lines above. What do we see here? Lo osi miun de chavrei, the miun done with a subsequent man does not come umevatel gito didei and void the get, cancel the fact that she was divorced from the previous man. So if you focus, again, by way of markings, just look at where we double underline the alma and that which follows. The first point, which was inferred from the ratio, was that osi miun de chavrei umevatel gito didei. The explicit statement in the Seifa said lo osi miun de chavrei umevatel gito didei. That seems to be quite contradictory. Omer Rabbi Lozer, Tavra. So Rabbi Lozer says, split the Mishnah apart. Mishi Shonazu, Lo Shonazu. He who taught the Reisha is not the same author as he who taught the Seifa. So it's not a function of a contradiction, but rather two different opinions. Two different opinions regarding the power of miun to a subsequent husband on the get done by a previous husband. Ula Omar. Ula says, he has a different approach. Kagon de sheshilsha begitin. When we say that she cannot go back to the man who had divorced her, we're talking about a woman who had been divorced three times. De mechsi kegedola. she appears like an adult. The Rashi, we'll look at Rashi together. You'll find him a little less than halfway down. Shishil Shabagitin. Shotzia Shalosh Pe'omim Beget. She had been divorced in the course of her marital history. She'd been divorced three times. Demechsik Gdola. She appears as an adult. Su Lo Hodra Lachad Minayhu. At that point, she can't go back to them. De Lo Osi Miun. The acher livtuli, the miun done by a subset by another man cannot undo three divorces, three gittin. Avo kodem shetishalesh, before reaching the number three, osi miun de chavre umavato gita. The miun done with a subsequent husband will in fact void the miun, the get done by the previous husband. Vibayala hadura mahadur law, and if he wants to take her back, he can do so, and it wouldn't be a problem of Mahsi Grushoso, Mishanises. We continue in the Gemara. Man Tana. Who is the author? Remember, we said before, under Reb Elozer's name, that there are two authors in the Mishnah. One holding that Miun de Chavre is Mevato Gita Dide, and the other one holding not so. That's the question. Who is the author? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. And before we go on, we want to take note of the markings. So you see under the Mivneh heading, a diamond is featured. These are Shnei Deos, al two opinions, al Eza Halocha Be'inyin Miun Bikshu Ladas B'Shasa Sakona. There was a time of danger where the Goyim had had ruled against Torah learning. And that's called Shasa Sakona. And there's a question concerning Miun that the rabbis wanted to know what is the explanation, what's the answer regarding some Miun related question at the time of Sakona. So what the question was, we see Rav Yudah Marab presenting his version of the question, and later Rabbi Shmo Rabbi Yossi presenting his version of what the question was. In both cases, you'll see a bow tie shape. V'sochru anoshim kedei limtzo lahem es hatshuva. In both cases, they hired people to seek out the answer. Once again, we're dealing with dangerous times, so they had to hire people to find out the answer. The Gemara. We asked a question. Man Tana, who is the author? Omar of Yudah Omar Shmuel. My dichtiv meimenu bekesef shosinu aritzenu b'mechir yavo. Through hiring, through paying money, so shosinu, we were able to drink. In other words, through paying money, we were able to find, to learn, to find the answer. B'shas hasakona nisbaksha halachazu. It was a time of danger that the following issue came up. She was divorced by Mr. 1, married Mr. 2, and left him through Miun. Can she go back to the first husband? Basically, our topic of Miun de Chavre Mevato Gito Dide. They hired a man paying him a lot of money, 400 zuz. Zuz is a type of coin. Vishwalu es Rebbe Akiva, the Beiso Asurin. They asked Rabbi Akiva while he was incarcerated, and he ruled that she cannot go back to the first man. As Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra ben Nitzivan ve'osaran, they sought the answer from Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who lived in Nitzivan, a name of a place, and he said, she, likewise, like Rabbi Akiva, that she cannot go back to the first husband. So this would reflect the opinion that in other words, we were asking who is the author of that idea that lo osi miun de chavre mevato gita didei. The author of that would be Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Omar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi lezu lo hutz rachnu. This is not a question. They didn't need to ask about a question like that. La'isur Kores hitarta Leisur lav lo kol shekein. This is very vague, but Rashi will hopefully make things very clear. Leisur kores, Rashi says, isur eshes ish. Kores is a very severe penalty when it's a punishment that we don't often translate through. When we learn the Shas, we simply refer to it as kores. It's a function of dying young or having one's children die in his lifetime. That's kores. And something that's punishable by kores is reflective of its being a very serious type of matter. So an Easter kores, Easter Ashes Ish, a married woman, a woman's married to a man, for her to be with other men would be an Easter kores. So Easter Ashes Ish Hifkato Mimeno Belo Get Almo Ein Ma'aso Shelo Klum. In the case of a Ktana who's married to a man, we allow her to walk away and then marry someone else. We see from this that the Maisik Tano, the marriage that the Tano had initiated is of no real weight, has no real value or weight to it. So we see that when you're dealing with minors, we void that which would have otherwise been an Isur Kores. Now the Isur Lav is a negative command that's not punishable by Kores. The negative command dealt with here is the issue of Machsir Gushoso, the taking back of a woman that a man divorced after she had married someone else subsequently. So that an Isur Lav of Machsir Gushoso, Rashi says, Lo Kol Shekein, Degalia Milsa Diktana Hi Lo Hava Gita Klum. The fact that she walked away, she was Mima'enis from a second husband, whereby we say that the marriage between husband and man, husband and woman is an Isur Kores, and she, that we allow to be undone, certainly we will not view with prohibition the Isur of her being taken back by the first husband. So, as far as Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that would not be an issue ever raised. Namely, that Miun de Chavre certainly is Mevatel Gito Didei, and she certainly can go back to the first husband, and there's no problem of Machsi Gushosa Mishinises. Bram Kach Shalu. However, if there was some type of question to be raised concerning Miun, and they had to hire someone during this time of trouble, this was their question. Hare shohoiso eshes achi imoy shishniolo venises ochiv meoviv umes mau shitemain hashto v'takrinu l'nisuin kamoy v'tesyabem. Now, in order to appreciate this case, let's take advantage of the diagram that we've provided. You see in this diagram a fairly involved family relationship. There's a woman that has a son. You can see he's in a diamond. He has a brother. Ben, the fellow that you see in the diamond, he was produced through a union between his mother and some man that we call Av. Now that man, that Av, you can see has a son that he had through another woman, and he's called Ben. So now the following takes place. There had been a marriage, a Ktano marriage, so the minor marriage between the brother of the mother that you see in the Ben has a mother. You see to the right of the aim an Ach. So his mother's brother happened to be married to a a woman, an isha, that's a ketana, a minor marriage, a rabbinic marriage. So you have the ben seeing his uncle, in other words, his wife's brother, in a rabbinic marriage. Now, as far as the order of events, stage one, the mother's, the fellow's uncle, the ach, dies. The isha ketana goes ahead and in the second stage of events, she goes and marries the fellow in the diamond has a brother through a common father. The isha ketana goes and marries that fellow, the diamond fellow's brother. And then that fellow dies, leaving no children. You have a yibum situation set up here. There's one problem, and that this girl was once the wife of the fellow's mother's brother. That relationship called the wife of mother's brother is ordinarily a prohibited, one's uncle's wife when it's a mother's brother. Very specifically, the word uncle is a little broad, a little too expansive. So we have to focus here on mother's brother's wife. That's called an erva, a shnia. A shnia meaning an isur de rabbonan. Don't confuse this, by the way, with a father's brother's wife, which the Torah calls dodoso. But I hope we're not getting too complicated, so put that off on the side. In the meantime, you have a girl that, as far as her marrying the fellow in the diamond, would be an Isur de Rabbanan. However, upon the death of what we see there on our chart, the diamond's brother, can she do mi'un regarding her original marriage? And if she does mi'un regarding the original marriage to the fellow's mother's brother, if she does mi'un, so then we would say she was never really married to him. And then, because the fellow's brother died, she could then do yibum. So that is the case we read. But let's read the words again in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said that the original matter that was not part of the discussion, the issue of miun de chavre being mevatel gito di day. However, this is a question. So we're reading the Gemara from the last narrow line. Hare shahoiso eshes achi imo. There was a woman, again a ketana, that was married to one's mother's brother. She's shniolo. Shnia is a prohibited relative or relationship on a rabbinic level. Vinosa achiv mi aviv, and the fellow's brother from a common father married her. Of course, it's obvious from the chart that the fellow's brother from the common father has no connection to that girl, and he married her. Mahu shetemayin hashda. Can this girl express miun regarding her original marriage, which would make her then a non-shnia, v'takrinu l'nisun kamoi, and thereby retroactively uproot the original marriage to the fellow's mother's brother, v'tisyabem, and then do miun, and then do yibum, that is. Yesh miun li'achar misa, b'mokli mitzvah lo, and this is the question. Can miun be done after death when there's an issue of a mitzvah at stake, the mitzvah of yibum? Sachru shnei b'nei odom b'arba mei azuz. Two men were hired at the cost of 400 zuz. Ubo v'shalu es Rabbi Kiva beis asurim v'osar. Rabbi Kiva was asked while he was incarcerated, and he said it's osur. Es Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra ben Netzivin v'osar. And likewise, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra took the restrictive approach that she cannot do that. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Ashiya numoide rav. Shemuteres le'ochiv shel zeh shenesra olav. Rav will concede that she is muteres to the brother of the one unto whom she had been forbidden. We had said before that lo osi miyun de chavreu mevatel gito didei, that her leaving a second husband through miyun does not undo the fact that she was divorced by the first husband, and that first husband who had divorced her cannot take her back. And we explain why is it that he cannot take her back, because if he were able to take her back, that would motivate him to meet up with her while she's married to the second fellow and wink at her and try to express his affinity toward her and butter her up in order to want to leave the second husband. And we don't want people being motivated to mess up others' marriages. So we tell the fellow, look, you divorced her. That's it. You cannot take her back once she marries someone else, even if she leaves the second fellow through miyun. So he knows that it won't help, even if he shows up and tries to wink at her. He is not allowed to take her back. What our Gemara here is telling us, true, he is not allowed to take her back, but his brother is allowed to take her back. And the point, halachically speaking, is we are not going to consider her what's known as grushas ochiv. In general, when you're dealing with regular adult marriages, when a man divorces a woman, she is not allowed to be married by the fellow's brother, assuming that we're not dealing with any yibum stories. Obviously, if you're dealing with the divorce, there's no yibum. That's called an isur of grushas achiv, just like a woman that's married to one's brother is forbidden as eishes achiv. When the brother divorces her, she's still usur to the brother, known as grushas achiv. In our case, that Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashin is describing, we have a man that had divorced his wife. She went ahead and did miyun, married a second man and did miyun with him. That woman, this ketana, can marry the brother of the one that originally divorced her. If that sounds a little complicated, we have a chart, and sometimes charts even complicate matters more, but if you look at the chart that we've provided in our Gemara, we have a man, we call him Roman numeral number 1. He was married to a ketana. And as far as the order of events are concerned, this man who happens to have a brother, you can see, is called Ach. This the man, Roman numeral number 1. He divorces his wife. That's stage 1. He divorces her. She goes ahead and marries a man we call Roman numeral number 2. That's the second stage. She marries someone else, and then stage 3, she does miyun with that man. So our halacha had said that we learned earlier that woman, the isha ketana there, cannot go back to marry Roman numeral number 1. However, what Rav Yitzchok is telling us, she can go and marry, we have this as stage 4, she can go and marry the brother of number 1, even though she's usur to Mr. 1 himself. So now we'll read that again in the words of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashiyan Umoide Rav. Rav will concede shemuteres laochiv shel zeh shenes rolov. She is mutter to the brother of the one that she had become usher to. The Gemara asks pshita. Oh, that's obvious that she's mutter to him. Who nihu demakeres b'kusosov aval ochiv lo? We said before, and I know we're repeating this maybe for the third or fourth time, that she cannot go back to Mr. 1, the one who had divorced her, because that's our preempting his winking at her and making all kinds of hints and motions. Well, we don't want him messing up her marriage to Mr. 2. So the only one to really worry about, to prohibit, is that guy who's hinting she recognizes. She knows how her previous husband tried to attract her. She doesn't know how her previous husband's brother behaves. The previous husband's brother doesn't represent a threat to going and messing up her marriage to Mr. Tu, so there's no reason to prevent her from to asser her from going to marry the brother of Mr. Tu. And in that case, we would say that the miyun, the chavrei, the miyun that she does with Mr. Tu, does dissolve the get that Mr. One gave with respect to Mr. One's brother, and we don't call her Grusha Sochiv. So this statement of Yitzhak Bar Ashiyan seems to be the statement of the obvious. The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Mahu detema, without this, I might have thought, ligzor hai otu hai. We should prevent her marrying the brother of Mr. One, because if we allow her marrying the brother of Mr. One on the grounds that she's not called Grusha Sochiv, otu hai, maybe she's not considered a Grusha at all because of the miyun that was done. The miyun that was done totally avoids the get, and she's not called Machsi Grushoso Mishinises altogether. Komash Malon, that's what I need Rabbi Yisrael Bar Ashiyan to tell us, that we don't make such a gzera, and the distinction will remain clear, that she can marry the brother of Mr. One and not go back to Mr. One himself. V'iko di Amri, Omer Rabbi Yisrael Bar Ashiyan Amarav, Kishem Shasura Lo, Kach Asura Li Achin. Just like she cannot, the woman who had been divorced by one and married Mr. Two and did miyun with Mr. Two, we say she cannot go back to Mr. One himself, so too she cannot go and marry the brothers of Mr. One. The Gemara asks, why should she not be allowed to marry the brothers of Mr. One? Was that brother going to threaten her marriage to Mr. Two at any point? She doesn't recognize the winking and hinting of her first husband's brothers. So the Gemara says that may be true, but gezeira achiv otuhu, we make a gezeira, prohibit her marrying any one of his brothers in anticipation of, if we were to allow that, she would then think it's mutter for her to marry the man himself that had divorced her, and that we already said was totally usser. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.